This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Fernando Mendoza, the only social media site that he's on is LinkedIn. He basically told the Raiders, you're on the clock for me.
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, host of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Coming up, broadcasting legend Bob Costas. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We already chatted with Kurt Warner in hour number one, and somebody who's very familiar with the city of St. Louis is about to join us here on the program. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial, whether you're watching on Disney Plus or the ESPN app, or you're listening to us on ESPN Radio or Sirius XM Channel 80. There was actual movement in the Bronx, New York, huh? The Yankees actually did something?
They did.
They re-signed Cody Bellinger.
That's right.
Well, how about that? Which is significant in two ways. One, that we got movement out of the Yankees. And two, the Dodgers didn't sign him, which is kind of crazy.
Well, they already had him.
And joining us now is none other than Bob Costas here on the program. How are you, sir? Good to see you, Bob.
I'm good, Rich. You know, I saw that panorama of your studio.
Yes, sir.
As this third hour began. Now, I have not visited you in your relatively new digs, but next time I'm out on the West Coast,
please,
we got to do one in person because it looks as if Disney is perfectly willing to accede to any and all demands that you make, including a studio that is suitable as someone's apartment.
Yes, sir.
And would be at a high end if that's what it was.
Yes, it's also filled with stuff that Susie, who you know very well, says, you know where that would look better?
I don't know
if you're in that room of your spot, Bob, if that room is yours right there.
Well, I'm in my kind of library slash den study office. serves as all those things. But, you know, as we get older and you accumulate stuff, you do need a place to put it. And you don't want that place to be in a box in the basement or some storage room. You want to honor what it is. And you've got the ready-made circumstance.
I do. Last week we had Dennis Leary here, and he told a story of being at Gretzky's house. Right. And there was no sign of anything that Gretzky did for a living anywhere in his house. And he went to go get an extra set of skates because Dennis wanted a skate. And they went into the garage, and he grabs a box, and he goes, no, that's the Hart Trophy. And he puts it off to the side. And it was like, he had the Hart Trophy in a box, Bob.
Right.
It's a great story.
Here's my Hall of Fame ring.
That's
I don't wear it. It's too gaudy. You know, I don't want to announce myself in this way. But you know what it is, actually? Let's say, I'm not going to use any names.
Sure.
Let's say someone's just kind of borderline. They had a good career, and maybe they kind of inched into the Hall of Fame, whatever it might be. They had their honors, but it's not immediately self-evident to the casual person.
Yes.
They might be more willing to maybe not show off, but at least have it be visible. But you're Gretzky. You're Tiger Woods. You're Michael Jordan. If you're lucky enough to be at Michael Jordan's house, it's highly unlikely that he says, here, come with me. Here are all my awards and citations. Come with me. Here's the cup. Here's all my green jackets. Here's all the Masters green jackets,
right,
says Tiger. I don't think it's necessary.
That's pretty much, I know. Bob Costas here on the Rich Eisen Show. You mentioned about inching into the Hall of Fame. There's many folks who are viewing the latest to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in legendary Cooperstown, New York, that are wondering if the latest are indeed worthy of being so enshrined. Where do you stand on that subject matter, Bob Costas?
I think that Carlos Beltran and Andrew Jones are definitely, you know, neither one is Willie Mays or Hank Aaron or Babe Ruth or whomever, but they're certainly worthy based on their achievements on the field. But more and more, the voters who are only 10-year and more baseball writers, we're observers, we don't have a vote. Mm-hmm. More and more, they're confronted with sort of ethical dilemmas. And we know what those dilemmas have meant for Barry Bonds, for Roger Clemens, for Rafael Palmeiro, for Sammy Sosa, for Mark McGwire. Curt Schilling has now been remanded to veterans committees if he ever gets in. And Schilling never had anything that compromised his integrity as a pitcher, but he ticked a lot of people off with various pronouncements, including insulting the electorate itself, insulting baseball writers themselves. So that became a quandary for some people. And someone like Omar Vizquel, who outside Ozzie Smith was the greatest defensive shortstop of his era and was trending upwards at about 50% only a couple of years ago, then reports come out of domestic violence and also that he supposedly, while a coach or manager in the minor leagues, harassed a bat boy who was autistic. And with that in mind, Vizquel's percentage has fallen from 50% down to around 17. Now you have Carlos Beltran. Beltran, by the numbers, especially when you consider his incredible postseason resume, the guys who have higher OPSs in postseason play than Carlos Beltran are Lou Gehrig, Babe Ruth, and George Brett. Mm. End of conversation. Plus, you know, he has other things to recommend him in a long baseball resume, power, speed, et cetera, et cetera. But he was, by all reports, the ringleader of the 2017 Astro sign-stealing scandal, and some players actually asked him to tone it down, and he didn't do that. That cost him, that was his last year, by the way, as a player, and he wasn't a significant player anymore, but he was on the Astros roster as a player. He's the only player, we can surmise some others, but he's the only player that's been publicly linked to it and admitted his guilt in it. It cost him his job as manager of the Mets. He was all set to take that job on, and he only gets in now on his fourth year, when he would have been, not unanimous, but he likely would have been over 75% of the first year, if not certainly by the second year. Mm-hmm. So collectively, the writers decided to give him some sort of probationary period. Now, Andrew Jones debuted at less than 10%. You got to get 5% to just to be over the line and continue on the ballot. So he debuted at 9%. No player has ever started that low and eventually gotten elected. He wasn't elected overwhelmingly, but in this his ninth year, next to last year on the ballot, he got in. Now, Andrew Jones, by most knowledgeable observers' estimation, is the closest thing to Willie Mays that we've ever seen as a defensive center fielder. He won 10 consecutive gold gloves. He broke into the big leagues at 19, and he was essentially done by age 30. There was a huge fall off. But during his prime, not only was he the premier center fielder, but he averaged more than 30 homers a year, more than 100 RBIs, had a peak of 51 home runs sometime in the early 2000s. His lifetime batting average is only .254. That's one of the lowest among now Hall of Famers. But he does have the defense. But he also had a domestic violence situation. And that probably slowed his rise from 9% to just getting over 75%. So the theme of a lot of this stuff now isn't just, do you think by the numbers or by his awards or by his historical significance, this guy is in? Is he also, quote, clean enough in one way or another to be in? There is a stipulation in when they say these are the qualities we're looking for. Yes, excellence on the field, blah, blah, blah. But they also say character, integrity, and sportsmanship. And some voters interpret that differently than others and hold people to a higher or lesser standard, depending upon which one of the 400-plus writers you are.
Bob Costas here on the Rich Eisen Show. In the here and now, Bob, the Dodgers keep on keeping on. And the Kyle Tucker signing is just the latest $60 million or $50 million a year log on the fire. At least in the case of Tucker, he didn't put it all into some 401k like Shohei and Yamamoto and maybe some others have done beforehand. Yeah. Does baseball have a problem, or is just this the 21st century version of what Steinbrenner was doing for the Yankees back in the day?
No, it's even worse. or more extreme. And the Dodgers situation, because it's so front and center, because of the two-time World Series champions and everything they do is a focus of public attention, this is helping to bring it to a head. Most observers believe that a lockout after this season, which would take effect in December of 26 and would imperil at least a portion of the 27 baseball season, the way they look at it now, a lockout is almost inevitable because a large number of the owners just believe that this has gotten to a point where it's untenable. Now, this doesn't mean that you're criticizing the Dodgers for doing what they're almost uniquely able to do. Uniquely, even when compared to other rich teams like the Yankees. The Guggenheim situation, I don't know that I understand all the economic dynamics, but suffice it to say that they're in a position to do some things that other teams cannot. Now, when you talk about Kyle Tucker, Rich, Kyle Tucker is a very good baseball player. He's now making $20 million more than Aaron Judge. Now, one of the ways the teams have approached this is other teams offered Kyle Tucker a longer-term deal, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years. The Dodgers said 4 years at a much higher per annum salary. And I think there are opt-outs. Why would Kyle Tucker opt out? But I think there are opt-outs after the third year or something like that of the four-year deal.
Well, the opt-out would be if his contract suddenly looks like Aaron Judge's in 2 years. You know what I mean? Like, and that... that's part of the conundrum.
Yeah.
But also, I can sit here and say there are some owners that can't do what the Guggenheims and the Dodgers are doing, or they won't. Like, they will not, because they can sit back and take whatever luxury taxes the Dodgers are willing to pay, or what they're not circumventing by creating the retirement plans here, and just pocketing it and just going for it and just saying, you know, 90 wins are enough. Or you can also push back and say the Dodgers, with all their riches, damn near lost the World Series. And one of the most exhilarating World Series, I think you and I can agree on that, have been played in recent years. Where do you think the fix is? Is it a cap? I don't want a lockout. Nobody does. What do you think?
You touched on a lot of interesting points there.
Sure.
The Dodgers are going to pay more this coming year in luxury tax than about a third of the franchises will pay in their entire payroll.
That's crazy.
There are a few things that that mitigate the advantages of the wealthy teams. One is that there are multiple layers of playoffs. And if you get there, almost anything can happen. It's easy to forget that the Dodgers, who played it as like a long game this year, this past year, they were trying to hit a peak in October, and they were willing not to win 100 games. They only won, I think, 93. They had the third best division record among the division winners of the National League. Thus, they had to subject themselves to a 2 out of 3 wild card round against the Reds. Now, that seems like a walkover in retrospect, but 2 out of 3? Suppose the Reds won 2 out of 3 at Dodger Stadium in June. No one would bat an eye. They start Hunter Green in the first game. Suppose he shoves the bats up the Dodgers' behinds, and now they're down 1-0, and all the pressure's on them.
Right.
In the three preceding seasons, they lost to the Padres, who they were some 22 games better than during the regular season, lost to the Padres in the division series. The next year, they were swept by the Diamondbacks from their own division, 16 games better than them in the division series. And in 2024, when they were on their way to winning the World Series, they were down 2-1 in a best of 5 to the Padres yet again. So that's how precarious all this is, to your point. Another point here is that one of the things that mitigates this is you now have 3 wild cards, and the 2 central divisions are really pretty much competitively equal. The only one of the 10 teams in the 2 central divisions that ranks in the top half of payrolls as of last year is the Cubs. And they have the capability of going higher. I think the next highest was the Tigers at like 17. So this is how the Brewers, who are extremely resourceful, can win 97 games and be in a good spot within their own division. This is how a year or so ago, the Royals, the Tigers and the Guardians, I think, all made the postseason, and the Twins were in it until the last week. Those central divisions and the third wild card do kind of mitigate the disadvantages. And to your point, win 90, maybe even win 86, 87 under certain circumstances, you're in the tournament. And baseball's different from other sports. In a short series, anybody can prevail.
So you think it caps the answer? And would that ever happen? Is that ever going to happen?
They're talking about some version of a cap.
Right.
And I guess what they're hoping for is that they can convince Tony Clark and the other people at the Players Association that this is not going to wind up with any ball player standing on a corner rattling a tin cup and asking passerbys for loose change. You know, that the setup here is not to drastically suppress salaries. It's try to bring things into some kind of balance. And there are ways to do that with the overall revenue of the industry, the measurable revenue of the industry, which doesn't take into account the equity and how much more they can sell it for than they bought it for. But that's one of the advantages of investment,
right,
one of the advantages of ownership. But there are ways, if there's something that comes up short, all right, here's the overflow. The Players Association redistributes it among their membership. And of course, if there is a salary cap or some mechanism that mocks a salary cap, then it doesn't happen without a salary floor. I didn't mean mocks. That's the wrong word. What is the word I'm looking for?
Mimics.
That's exactly right.
Right.
It starts with an M. mimics a salary cap.
Right.
But it can't happen without a salary floor. If you're going to share all this revenue and if you're going to have some restraints on the top, then the Pittsburgh Pirates are going to have to spend some of that revenue sharing money.
Right. And then also what I think a cap of or whatever, as you point out, mimics it, would also, I think, bring about a sense of urgency when free agency hits rather than this 3-month meandering that fans have a difficult time paying attention to, and
yeah,
it might mimic what we see in the NFL and the NBA, which is a rush to sign people because you got to use your cap money wisely with people mm-hmm. that are worthy of the expenditure. I think it would be great if baseball had a free agency period that went off the rails, if you will, for a 10-day or a 14-day period, similar to what the NFL and the NBA has when their new league year starts, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, Cody Bellinger signs in the middle of January, right before the NFL playoffs, or, you know, Kyle Tucker signs in the middle of the divisional round. It gets lost, you know, and then there's a lot of fans are waiting to see what happens, and the offseason takes forever. And it's tough mm-hmm. to get fans, you know, juiced up. I shouldn't use that phrase. Pardon me. It couldn't get fans, you know, excited, you know, in a way that baseball deserves. And baseball has clearly had the ability to engender that World Series, Bob, lit up phone lines on this show.
Yeah.
And all the metrics that we measure for popularity of videos and whatever, like any NFL big time game, that World Series just lit it up. Ohtani lights it up. I mean,
yep.
It's there. It needs to be harnessed, Bob. It needs to be harnessed.
At the Baseball Network, you know, Brian Kenny, who's great,
yes,
likes to do all these top 10 lists. And he and I are doing one on Friday, and he's asked me to rank the top 10 World Series in the divisional era,
yes,
which is since 1969. And on my list, I have this past World Series, Blue Jays Dodgers, number one,
yeah,
displacing the series that had ranked as number one seemingly forever, the 1975 7-gamer between the Reds and the Red Sox that featured that Carlton Fisk home run off the foul pole in Game 6 and a lot of Hall of Fame players and all the rest. I cannot remember a Game 7
yep.
that was any better because you had a half dozen moments where any pitch
yep.
the whole World Series could have turned on it, including two consecutive pitches. The ground ball to second base that Rojas backhanded and then stumbled for a breathtaking moment before finally righting himself. And IKF is out at the plate by a fraction of an inch. And had he taken a lead literally of only 1 foot further down the third base line, there it is. Then the World Series is over. There's a replay review. And how weird would it have been
yeah.
to have a World Series end on a replay
off.
Review?
Yeah.
But the call was upheld, and when they resumed on the very next pitch, that's when Ernie Clement unsung hero until he became one of the big names of this postseason, hammers one to left center, and that's the ball on which Páez makes the catch, knocking Hernandez over. Two consecutive pitches that could have ended the World Series. So you have an incredible seventh game, but you also had, not equally incredible, but certainly noteworthy, a great sixth game in Toronto that ends on the double play with the Hernandez catch, and he pegs to second base, and Rojas makes a nice pick, and they turn it into a double play. And you had an 18-inning third game at Dodger Stadium that ended with a walk-off Freddie Freeman home run. Who else has two walk-off home runs in back-to-back World Series? Nobody, just Freddie.
Yeah, I know.
So when you take it in its totality, I think this is the best World Series I've ever seen.
I'm with you, Bob. 100%. And you know, the Blue Jays proved in Dodger Stadium, unlike the Yankees, you don't have to fold after Freddie Freeman hits one out on you in the extra innings of a World Series game.
And, you know, the Blue Jays did everything but win.
I know. They were great, man.
The Blue Jays, you can make a case that they outplayed the Dodgers in this World Series.
Now, before I let you go, you're going to turn from 29-time Sports Emmy Award winner Bob Costas into Bob from New York. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. Bob from New York, you want to chime in on a subject matter involving the National Football League playoffs? Bob from New York?
You know, we have talked about this before, Rich, and thanks for having me on. First time, long time, big fan. Thanks for having me on. And we've talked about this before, and I want to stipulate that this past weekend, okay, Denver and Buffalo, that is a great and exciting game. Mm-hmm. The Bears and the Rams, incredibly exciting. Mm-hmm. And the overtimes were also exciting. That camouflages the fact that while they are moving in the right direction, they've made it somewhat fairer. It's still wrong. In the postseason, not in the regular season, do whatever you want. You don't want the games to go long for injury reasons and long season that 17 games that may now soon be 18, and you don't want the 1 o'clock games to bleed over too far into the 4 o'clock games. But in the postseason, you have to play a timed period. Now, you can have the competition committee decide what that is. Is it 10 minutes? Is it a full 15 minutes? But you have to play a timed period. It's fairer, and also it restores the strategy and the drama that's missing. Now, I'm not saying it wasn't dramatic, Bears and Rams, it was, but the race against the clock and the strategy that involves is part of the drama of an important football game. And that is missing now under these overtime rules. The great games this weekend camouflages it, but structurally, if you just look at it in the abstract, it's not fair.
So you want to play a full period, sort of like what football, soccer does. You play a full period. And then so in this case, the field goal by the Rams wouldn't have ended the game. It would have given the Bears, or I guess McVay wanted it, would have taken more time off to leave the Bears with little time left to retaliate.
Yeah, if possible. You know, when it was purely sudden death,
right?
Of course, those old enough to remember, and I was six and I vaguely remember the game. You know, when Johnny Unitas and the Colts beat the Giants in the first sudden death that we ever saw,
right?
Then people thought that was just great. But when the Patriots beat the Falcons, now this doesn't take the Falcons off the hook for blowing a 28-3 lead, and it doesn't take anything away from the great comeback and all the terrific plays that were part of it by the Patriots, but the Patriots won the flip, took it down the field, scored a touchdown, and the game was over. Matt Ryan was the MVP, never touched the ball. And under those rules, it happened twice to Aaron Rodgers in the postseason. It happened to Drew Brees. It happened to Patrick Mahomes, and on and on. So you don't want that to happen. It works against the theater of the NFL, which usually the NFL is so good at emphasizing. Have they made it better now? Yes, they've made it better. Each team is guaranteed a possession, at least one possession. And now what you do, if you win the flip, you say, we'll kick off. You want the ball second because then you know what you need.
Right.
You know if a field goal will do it, if a field goal ties it, if you need a touchdown to tie it. But on the other hand, if either an initial score is matched or neither team scores, then a huge advantage reverts to the team that got the ball first, because numerically they're always going to have one more possession. If you play a time period, you're playing real football. That's all I'm saying.
Bob Costas here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, Bob, we'll take you in person next time. And if not, and you have something you want to get off your chest, we've got a new graphic for you.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, we do. It's there you go. Bob in New York with the phone line. There it is for you. Okay.
Very nice. I like it. And of course, as usual, when I go on these little mini rants about the NFL's overtime rule, they are taking copious notes on Park Avenue, and they will heed my every suggestion, as they always do.
Right. And they always do. And in the meantime, if we don't speak on this show before then, I look forward to your inevitable text to my phone during the NFL scout and combine coverage about how riveted you are by the action in Lucas Oil Stadium, Bob.
Absolutely. That is the epitome of sports drama. I'm so sad that for yet again, for the 27th consecutive year by my count, I have to miss the NFL combine. I'm just, unfortunately, I keep making this mistake. I have other commitments. I should clear my calendar for the entire week surrounding it, and next year perhaps I will.
Yes, this year it's basketball too for you, right? That's what you'll be shooting.
That's right. And if in fact they want to do a sequel to Pootie Tang, that will also take me away from the combine.
Bob in New York, Bob Costas, all in one. Thank you, sir. Great to see you, bud. Great to see you.
See ya.
The one and only Bob Costas here on the Rich Eisen Show.
So good.
Bob in New York. All right, we'll take a break. We're up against it, as they say in the radio business. That was too great a conversation to stop. And love it. That was awesome. Back on the Rich Eisen Show in a sec.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
O'Reilly Auto Parts can help take the guesswork out of your check engine, ABS, or maintenance light with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE certified master technicians. O'Reilly Veriscan can identify the most likely problem with just one scan. If you need help, O'Reilly Auto Parts can recommend a shop for you. Don't ignore a check engine, ABS, or maintenance light. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. A free service exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Rich Eisen here. The tax deadline will be here before you know it. And you just want to know your taxes are actually being handled. But the old way? You hand everything off and then silence. Days pass, weeks pass. You start wondering, should I send another follow-up email? It feels like you're chasing updates and getting nowhere. But now, taxes are different, because your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full-service expert. With Intuit TurboTax, you can match with your dedicated tax expert and hand off everything right in the app. And while your expert checks for every deduction, you'll see real-time updates on your phone so you always know exactly where things stand. Suddenly, you're not refreshing your inbox. You're going for a run, grabbing a coffee, scrolling anything other than a just checking in message, because your TurboTax expert is handling it and keeping you in the loop. So this tax season, get your best possible outcome and every dollar you deserve without the guesswork. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service experts.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show simulcast. What a blast with Bob there, man. Oh. We went so deep. I wanted to show him your hat and see his reaction to split Yankee Dodger hat.
Send Bob a picture.
No, Bob's going to be here in person.
Oh, no, he's
got to see this in person. Okay,
I'm glad we'll have that in our back pocket.
Disgust would have been his reaction.
Oh, he will be disgusted.
Let's go to YL in Pittsburgh.
YL.
Hanging on. What's up? How you been, YL?
Finally gets what he wanted all this time.
I'm in.
You're on.
Yep.
You're up. What's
can you
up?
Hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
What's up, guys? Long time no talk. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy holidays.
Man?
See, my wish came true.
You really didn't. You really wanted Tom and Gunn that bad, huh? You really,
years, man. It was time. Right? It was time. He did a good job for the 19 years that he was there. But I mean, we noticed his record at the end. I think you pointed out a few things: 5 losses, double digits.
I got it.
He also the no coaches ever came out from underneath him. I mean, that's all. You know, you got to look at all that stuff, right? You know, that's what makes a coach great when they can. You know, bring somebody up from the bottom, and then they become a head coach. But none of them, like, you ask yourself, why didn't he have anybody good underneath him?
But
was he scared that they?
Who do you want then?
Take his job?
Give me the name. But, give me the name. You wanted Tom and Gunn. We are now living in that world. Who do you want?
Yes.
Who do you want?
So right now, obviously it's rebuilding stages, and I don't know the Rooneys will make the right call. You know, I was thinking about McCartney, but. He's jumped too many places. I don't think he'd be a good Steeler.
Okay.
For Steelers.
So who do you want?
But that defensive coach, that the young guy that they were talking about.
Yeah, Florio talking about Chris Shula.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So.
But he's totally unproven. So you got your proven guys out.
It's time.
Okay.
And for a change, and I'm happy that this Tomlin took it upon himself to make that change.
YL in Pittsburgh. Appreciate you chiming in because you've been chiming in for years. Thanks for calling back and call us back when they hire a new coach.
Mike McCarthy's also 62. It's just it doesn't fit the profile.
It doesn't matter with the profile. You want to win? You want to win or you don't? 62 doesn't matter. You know who's 62 or 63? The guy who just won it all in college football. Arians won it. Damn near, what, at 68. Reed is 67.
But that's not their blueprint.
No, I understand what their blueprint is. You know, but everybody wants to win playoff games. They got to win playoff games. So what are you going to do? Now you're going to take on losing seasons to get to the winning playoff
games?
That's
what they wanted, Rick.
Okay.
All those people that clowned you in the comments. And
oh, there's been a lot of comment clowning.
Yeah, so that's what they wanted. So
I've been receiving a lot of comments being clowned.
Comment clowning. That's
what about. Do I amuse you? Is that what it is?
Get what you ask.
Tanner in Iowa, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Tanner?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're good.
What's up,
you?
What up,
good.
Man?
Good. I was just first. I wanted to say it's nice that a guy that used to call Cedar Falls home started the first hour, and a guy who lives in Cedar Falls. Is on in the third hour.
Look at you. You and Kurt Warner, Tanner. Look at you. Look at you. Do you also have a Sports Illustrated cover wondering who you are?
No, home? I wish.
Okay, good. You're just facing the crowd, man. Here we go.
But what I was gonna call in yesterday after the day after the national championship because I've had season tickets for Iowa for a long time and on the visiting side, so I've dealt with a lot of opposing fans and whatnot, and I just wanted to say that I've never been happier for a Big Ten team to win a championship than Indiana. They were some of the nicest fans, just respectful fans I've ever dealt with, and then just watching their quarterback and how he handles himself and how the team handles himself. And how the coach, even though he can get you upset at him once in a while, he's a heck of a coach.
He sure is.
I was just going to say the last 3 years, I've been probably the most happy for the Big Ten. For Indiana's the most happy I've been. And then when Michigan won, I was very happy for Michigan to win. And the last thing I was going to say, next time you guys talk to Seth Rollins or Ashton Kutcher, could you guys see if they'll poke up a couple of $1 million or some money to help Iowa reach the national
looking for some NIL, huh? Okay, there you go, Tanner in Iowa. Hey. Well done, he's caping.
Nice.
You want some money, want some of that 2.5 men money. You want some of that?
Send them a group chat right now.
I believe the Thursday of our Super Bowl week, the host of the Liar Liar Pants on Fire edition of this show is going to be there. We can ask him on Thursday's Super Bowl week. Hey, Seth, Tanner in Iowa is looking for some of your NIL money for the Hawkeyes.
Pony up.
Right?
I love it.
You got that going for you. And by the way, I appreciated Tanner in Iowa saying he's a Big Ten guy. Happy for Indiana, happy for Michigan, and then he moved on. I'm with him. That was impressive. I like that. He was talking my language. Because who's the third one?
I can't remember.
I mean, they didn't. They weren't undefeated, and they didn't win. They didn't play for the conference title because
that year was a blur. Though.
I know. Right? Yeah. I remember guys, that.
You guys.
Mike Vrabel has spoken.
Hey.
Oh.
Okay. I'm sure Vrabel loves the narrative that Jared Stidham is fresh meat and the Patriots are basically played the AFC Championship game last week against the Texans.
I certainly don't like
it. I think he loves that. He loves that. Wait a minute. Being told he doesn't like that.
Take your heart pills and buckle up.
All right. Hoskins, walk me through these sound bites because they're fresh out of the edit machine.
Love it.
Oh, here he is talking about Jared Stidham. Once upon a time, a fourth-round draft selection of the Patriots and his first offensive coordinator and quarterback guru is the current one there in Josh McDaniels.
You know, again, he's got, you know, the snaps that he has, the 400-so snaps that are, you know, in regular season action, and then they have a lot of snaps and what they want to do. We'll have to be prepared for the plan and the things that they've shown. I'm sure there'll be some things that they haven't shown. He's more than capable to go out there and operate. And it's why he's a backup and one that was coveted around the league.
How much did you tap into Josh's knowledge of him? And obviously he started a couple games for Josh in Vegas about, hey, this is what he likes, this is what he doesn't like.
I think every week we try to use every resource that we have at our disposal. Josh coached him a couple years ago. So, you know, anything that we have that we can use to help us, we'll try.
That's a Belichickian answer. Oh, we do it every week around here. But outside of that, he was coveted. There's no doubt about it. Hey, as a backup.
He's one of the higher paid backups.
You know, like I think a lot of people were knocking on the door of the Broncos and Sean's like, yeah, not here. Keep going. Move on to find your backup. And I guess in terms of the Patriot fan base that has been dropping comments on the TikTok page of Drake May's wife, Anne, as she is making recipes and saying, you know, feed Drake. Take care of Drake.
Take care of our king. Yeah.
Take care of him. Mm-hmm. Treat him well on our behalf.
Yeah, absolutely.
They would like Drake to do the same with the football.
Very much so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Certainly when he's in the pocket, looking downfield or taking off downfield, the way that they have been counseling Drake May's wife, Anne.
Thank you.
To take care of Drake May.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They would like Drake May to take care of the football, Duke football. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, I followed all that.
Vrabel was asked about May's 5 points of pressure on said football.
Same way I do all the time. So just, you know, we have to be able to not get careless with the football. We can't be reckless. And a lot of it is operation. I mean, we had two turnovers where, you know, we all weren't on the same page. And not only is it, you know, that's, you know, you could have a negative play if you don't have everybody on the same page, but even worse, you lose the football. Or if you don't have somebody on the same page and they blitz, you know, somebody gets hurt. So, you know, those are the things we talk about when we're not on the same page. So I think the operation is going to be critical.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What does it feel like to have a coach who gets it and is on it? What's it feel like? That you're not sitting here wondering, are they ready? Are they going to be ready? Are they on what needs to be on? How does it feel? Because a lot of fan bases in the NFL,
it's wonderful,
don't feel that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
About their coach.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a single ounce of listening to this guy and watching this guy that makes you think he's about to get outfoxed by Sean Payton.
Yeah, the feeling is we're never going to be underprepared.
Ever.
We're never going to be situationally sound.
Unaware.
Unaware of your surroundings, what's going on. You're not going to be prepared.
It's unreal.
You know, It's like I said, it's a remember. It feels like the early days.
Yeah, it does.
I said early dynasty, and people in the comments on the overreaction thought I meant this team is an early dynasty. No, I meant 2001 to 2004. It feels like the early Patriots days of Tom and Bill.
Well, I mean, Bill and his second
and Brewski and all those guys.
Bill on his second shot at being a head coach,
yeah.
And he's got a second year starter.
Yep,
you know, because Brady did have a year before.
And the wide
and it was the first year starter. Like this is May's first year starting from week one on. By the way,
yep.
Last year he didn't.
Yeah, yeah. Jacoby Brissett started.
Jake Brisket.
Yeah. So.
So yeah.
It feels great. I'm
That's
feeling
what
great.
It should.
Life is great.
It's unreal.
16 wins so far this season.
Crazy,
in case people are counting
crazy
at home.
Crazy season.
It's been awesome.
It has.
I really like.
I don't. I yeah.
really happy
for you. It's. It really has. Yeah. And all they got to do is get past Jared Stidham and maybe Sam Darnold, and they win the Super Bowl.
Yep,
it's entirely possible. Those are the quarterbacks that he might have to get through. You know. And again.
Yeah.
Hey, Jet fans, get ready. Get ready. Patriots versus Sam Darnold in the Super Bowl. How's that taste?
I mean, he's gonna have to protect that ball a little better.
Well, I know that.
Yep. Big time.
No ghosts.
844-204 Rich, number to dial. We're going to wrap things up with O'Shea Jackson Jr., who is here.
Hey!
Yes. Don't go anywhere.
About them Dodgers.
Oh, God.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. LinkedIn is there for helping you hire for your small business because they know it can feel like a full-time job. So it's important you hire right the first time. That's where LinkedIn Jobs AI assistant comes in to the equation and takes the heavy lifting straight out of it. It filters applicants based on the criteria you set and suggests 25 great fit candidates daily so you can invite them to apply and keep things moving. Get started by posting your job for free at LinkedIn.com/Eisen. That's LinkedIn.com/Eisen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. For our radio audience, certainly listening here in Los Angeles, California, ladies and gentlemen, O'Shea Jackson Jr. is here.
Yes.
And the reason why I mentioned Los Angeles, California, is you ever see The Shining? You ever see the movie The Shining?
Yes.
How the elevator opens up and an insane amount of blood comes straight down. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you know the Lakers are just down the street?
Yeah.
The elevator doors just opened up, and it's not blood, it's tea. Just got spilled all the way down
the
street.
Oh, yeah.
And just splashed on the internet.
Mm.
ESPN with a deep dive.
Deep dive.
On the Bus family.
Just started reading it. Oh, my God.
You know, angling. Mm. And the Khaleesi of the Bus family came out on top, as we know.
Yeah.
That's your girl, Jeannie Buss,
yep.
Your owner, mm-hmm. Your governor.
Mm-hmm. God bless her.
I quote from this article. Team sources told ESPN she began even a turn against the Lakers star player LeBron James.
Ooh.
Jeannie privately grumbled, people close to the team say, about what she felt was James's outsized ego and the overt control that he had with Clutch Sports, which represents both James and Anthony Davis, how much they exerted over the organization at times. She didn't like that James was considered a savior for a floundering franchise when he arrived in 2018, then it was he who chose the Lakers rather than the team's leadership receiving praise for landing him. Team sources have been adamant for years that James's camp informed the Lakers as early as 2017 that he was coming to join them when he became a free agent the following year. I would say yada, 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 but there's not enough time for me to read the rest of this.
Yeah.
We good?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're great.
What do you mean we're great?
I mean, number one, I know this has to do something with that Russell Westbrook trade.
Next paragraph. The distance between Jeannie and James widened after the Lakers traded for Russell Westbrook.
Dude, come on, bro.
Close to the team
I do
said.
This Lakers stuff, bro. I do this stuff.
The team had made the trade in an effort to appease James, but the acquisition backfired in catastrophic fashion.
Hmm.
It's crazy out here.
That's a shame.
In these El Segundo streets?
Boy, isn't it crazy that the Clippers got us off their back? That was real quick. All that tree payment talk just vanished out of nowhere. Now the Lakers got drama.
12 out of 4.
What you doing, TJ?
12 out of tree payment talk.
That was spookazy anyway. That wasn't real.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They've won 12 of 14.
Real,
they
real yeah. weird
They're back
timing.
In the mix.
Real weird time. They're about to have an all-star game and into it. Real weird timing.
So you're fine that there might be some friction with LeBron and the Lakers? Because don't you
LeBron
think
LeBron is on his way out the door? Like, how long can we do it, man? We all know where it's going right now.
Where's it going?
I would love for him to finish as a Laker. I want him to go all the way to 25. I need the 25th anniversary of LeBron.
Don't you want the trophy?
Absolutely.
And Larry
I
O.B.
I feel like, yeah, I mean, our logo is a gold ball. Like, Larry O.B. is home. But I need things to smooth out, but there should always be friction when people are competitive. I love it. Thank you.
Good answer, as they say on Family Feud, which apparently there has been in the front office.
Nice. Shout out to William Shatner.
Yes.
Whoa, wow.
Hey, William, if you're listening on ESPN LA right now, save me a bowl of whatever flakes you got.
Yeah.
All right. This is as great as it gets, man.
You bringing up him balancing as Captain Kirk and all that's great. But what people need to remember,
Captain Crunch.
Michael Myers, the Michael Myers mask is just a William Shatner mask.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Michael Myers, serial.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to The Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.